Chapter 7 The Self and Self-Presentation and Related Ideas. The Self and Related Ideas. What is self-presentation? Self-presentation is the control of behavior, dress, and related factors, with the aim of presenting a specific image. The control of behavior includes the way we act and the control of non-verbal and verbal communications. The deliberate way we dress to present an impression is an important part of self-presentation. The words and related factors in the definition include other components that we may control to present an image, such as the way our house is decorated, items we appear to own, the people we are with, the presentation of formal documents about ourselves, etc. The words with the aim of presenting a specific image means the impression that the person is trying to make to one or more individuals. The individuals can comprise a group in some cases. The impression that people try to usually make is, of course, a favorable one. For example, we want to look competent and hardworking when we go for a job interview. However, there are situations where certain individuals will try to project a relatively negative image, because it is rewarding for some reason. For example, a beggar usually wants to look poor, helpless, harmless, and homeless, which will probably maximize the amount of money he makes from handouts. A welfare recipient might also want to look poor, helpless, and deserving of assistance. Some mental patients may want to appear mentally ill, to obtain financial assistance or to escape responsibility for their behavior, which might be especially true in criminal cases. The people we try to impress with our self-presentations are people who might be in a position to offer us rewards the job interviewer, to punish us if we make the wrong impression our parents, or allow us to escape punishment a jury. Generally, people try to make different impressions for different situations and for different individuals. For example, a young person going for a job interview might try to present himself as a responsible and serious person. To his peers, he might present an image that is just the opposite. However, I believe that most individuals probably have certain general qualities they try to present to most people, and there are other qualities that they may present only in certain situations, such as a job interview. Generally, people always try to control their impression at some level when they are with other people. However, the level varies from insignificantly small to very great, depending on the situation. Question: how aware are people of the control of their impressions? Again, the level of awareness varies from insignificantly small to very great, depending on the situation. That is, people often control their impressions automatically without really thinking about it. In close intimate relationships, such as in families, the level of control of impressions is usually quite small. This is especially the case with small children. In such situations, the control of impressions is usually performed on an automatic level, without much awareness. The opposite extreme, with respect to impression management, is found in a real stage performance, a live television broadcast, and large formal ceremonies. Under these conditions, people generally exercise an extreme level of control over the factors that relate to the impression they are making. Under such conditions, they are generally quite aware of the impression management process that they are exercising. The ability to make controlled self-presentations varies with the individual's acquired ability. That is, this is a learned social skill. The more skillful person will have more control over his self-presentation. There are people who would care more about developing the skill and others who would care less. This is discussed in the following paragraph. Some people are very concerned about the way they come across to others. That is, they are quite concerned about their self-presentation and invest much effort to control it. These people are called high self-monitors. And there are people with just the opposite philosophy. They pay little attention to their self-presentation. These people are called low self-monitors. Most people are in between these two extremes. I believe that there is an additional dimension to self-monitoring that is quite important. There are high self-monitors that control their self-presentations for manipulative purposes or to obtain some personal reward. There is another type of high self-monitor that controls his or her self-presentations with the aim of pleasing people and to avoid offending others. This type of high self-monitor is simply very sensitive to the feelings and needs of others. And likewise, there are two types of low self-monitors. One type is simply insensitive to the feelings and needs of others. He does not care if he offends anyone with his behavior, verbal statements or style of dress, and he acts accordingly. Another type of low self-monitor is an individual that has a normal or above level of sensitivity to others, but for some reason does not have an awareness of the need to monitor his or her presentations to others. His or her philosophy might be that it is dishonest to control your responses to make a good impression. That is, he or she might say that the honest and proper thing to do is be yourself. Under the following headings, additional concepts about the self and related ideas are presented. What is a self-concept? A self-concept is a general schema we have about ourselves. The schema is a collection of beliefs and facts about the kind of person we are, such as the following schema, which contains 9 items sensitive to the needs of others: reserved, honest, intelligent, hardworking, American, Jewish, a person who hopes to be a writer and scientist. To this point, the definition presented here of a self-concept is very similar to definitions presented elsewhere, but the wording is very different. A simple definition is the collection of beliefs we hold about ourselves. However, the following paragraphs expand the definition by considering emotional components. The expanded definition is probably more in line with what most people really mean when they use the term self-concept. At least some of the items that comprise the general schema of the self-concept are tied to emotional components and related beliefs. The emotional components can motivate or inhibit the person in certain ways. Activities and goals that contradict the self-concept will be partly or totally inhibited. Likewise, activities and goals that agree with the self-concept will be motivated. This can be illustrated by returning to the example of a self-concept, which this subtopic started with. Each of the items, comprising the self-concept of the hypothetical person, has some emotions or beliefs connected, which is illustrated in the following list. Sensitive to the needs of others connected to this item are emotional concerns that relate to the needs of others. The individual is empathetic and feels the discomfort or pain of others. Thus, he is motivated to help them. Reserved connected to this item is anxiety over the way the self is presented in social situations. The individual believes that certain behaviors might offend others. If he offended others, he would feel the discomfort. That is, he would feel quite embarrassed. In addition, if he came across offensive, he would be quite upset with himself. Honest, this is a fact. The emotions connected to this relate to a concern for the well-being of others. The person is empathetic, which also motivates honesty. If other people thought the individual to be dishonest, he would be quite upset. Intelligent, the individual will most likely feel quite upset if he does not perform academically and in daily life as an intelligent person should. Hardworking, connected to this item is beliefs and emotions about hard work. This individual enjoys hard work. If the individual failed because he did not work hard, he would be upset with himself. Thus, hard work is associated with both enjoyment and success, which are strong motivating forces. American, this is a fact. Generally, there is little emotion connected to this, for this hypothetical individual, because it is taken for granted. Jewish, this is a fact in that the individual was born into a Jewish family. Some of the emotions connected to this item are an aversion for certain foods that are not kosher, such as pork and lobster, which is an example of an inhibitory response. A person who hopes to be a writer, the emotions connected to this are enjoyment from the process of writing. The individual also enjoys communicating complicated ideas through written work. Thus, there is a motivating force for writing. A person who hopes to be a scientist, the individual enjoys science and the work associated with the study of science. Thus, from the above paragraphs, we can see that the self-concept is composed of facts, beliefs, and emotional components. The beliefs that comprise a self-concept may have varying degrees of accuracy, ranging from extremely accurate to highly inaccurate. In a certain sense, it can be difficult to determine what accuracy is in this regard. The difficulty is people can have one image of a person and the person himself can see himself very differently. it does not automatically follow that other people perceive the individual in a more accurate light than he sees himself, and vice versa. Of course, there are certain qualities that are easily evaluated, but there are many other qualities that are difficult or almost impossible to evaluate accurately. The following topic will discuss the related idea of the way people see the individual. What is the social concept of an individual? The self-concept was defined above as a general schema we have about ourselves. I am defining an analogous concept here that relates to the way people see the individual. I am calling this concept the social concept of the individual. Thus, the social concept of the individual is a general schema that people have about an individual. The general schema is a collection of beliefs and facts about the kind of person the individual is, such as the following schema, which contains 9 items sensitive to the needs of others: reserved, honest, intelligent, hardworking, American, Jewish, a person who hopes to be a writer and scientist. And just as was the case with the self-concept, at least some of the items comprising the social concept will generally have emotional components connected to them. Another term that I will use as a synonym for the social concept of the individual is public image. Unlike the self-concept, we may have several social concepts, because different groups of people might see us very differently. For example, a young college student living in a dormitory might have one public image in school and a very different public image back home in the old neighborhood. His parents and the people in the old neighborhood might see him as a highly intelligent intellectual, conservative, shy and self-disciplined. His college classmates and instructors might see him as an average student, who is exceptionally outgoing, somewhat lacking in self-discipline, and has radical political beliefs. An interesting set of dynamics can be seen if we look at the social concept of the individual and the process of labeling the individual. The labels placed on an individual can dramatically change the social concept of the individual, assuming that others know about the label. This would be true for both negative and positive labels. 2 examples are presented in the next 2 paragraphs. A psychiatric label, or simply a label of mental illness, will most likely change the public image of an individual in very dramatic ways, which may severely limit his or her functioning in society. The individual that was once thought of as trustworthy and responsible may be considered as a threat to all who know him or her, even if there is no evidence to support such a belief. The response of others will damage the self-concept of the patient and probably worsen his or her overall condition. The change in the social concept of the individual may severely limit his or her overall life chances, such as obtaining employment, finding a mate, obtaining meaningful friendships, etc. The only feasible remedy for the patient may be to change his or her social network after recovery. With a positive label, such as obtaining an advanced degree, something that is more or less the opposite of the above might happen. The public image of the person will change in such a way as to result in an increase in life chances, such as more opportunities for employment, more choices for a mate, more choices for friends, etc. What is self-esteem? Self-esteem is a general value an individual attributes to himself or herself. This general value that a person assigns to the self is not necessarily based on any qualities or achievements. However, desirable qualities and achievements have a tendency to increase the general value that an individual attributes to himself or herself. Negative qualities and undesirable circumstances tend to reduce the value. The word tendency and tend was used because this relationship is not always true. Self-esteem is an emotional component and it is not a logical assessment of true value. What is social esteem? I am defining an analogous concept of self-esteem here that relates to the way people value the individual. I am calling this concept the social esteem and I am defining it as follows. Social esteem is a general value people attribute to an individual. Unlike self-esteem, a person can have several social esteems, because different groups of people can place different values on him. For example, a person living in his old neighborhood with his parents might have a very high social esteem. In the workplace, his boss and co-workers might place a very low value on him, low social esteem. This might be especially true if he is a poor worker doing a menial job, who cannot get along with people in the workplace. There is not necessarily a completely logical process for the assignment of a specific level of social esteem placed on an individual. However, generally low-status people, minority groups, mental patients, criminals, and prisoners will most likely have low social esteem. People of high social status, highly successful individuals, scholars with advanced degrees, and people with other qualities that are desired by society will usually have high social esteem. If we examine history, especially of foreign countries, we would find that men of low social esteem were much more likely to be placed in dangerous combat positions in war than individuals with high social esteem. Some or all of this may have come about inadvertently or unconsciously, but the social and psychological dynamics may be quite cruel. That is, losing a person that is valued less by society is not as bad as losing a person that is highly valued. Thus, a person that died in combat, in some cases, may have sacrificed his life for a society that did not value him. The social esteem might in some cases change the self-esteem if the values are different. For example, if a person has high self-esteem but is valued very little by the people in his social network, his self-esteem might be lowered. Or if a person has low self-esteem and the people he encounters place a high value on him, his self-esteem might rise. This relationship is certainly not a certainty, it is something that may or may not happen. What is the working self-concept? The working self-concept is a portion of the psyche that guides thoughts, emotions and behavior in a specific context. The portion of the psyche is related to the self-concept of the individual. There are many such portions, such as the academic self for school, the social self for friendly socializing, the workplace self for the workplace, etc. These portions of the psyche may produce very different thoughts, emotions and behavior, which will generally be appropriate for the specific context. The word specific context in this definition applies to such environments as school, places to socialize, the workplace, etc. What is self-awareness? Self-awareness is a focus on oneself as opposed to a focus on entities in the external environment. Self-awareness results in us experiencing ourselves as an entity of our own attention or a scrutiny. Self-awareness is a state that can vary from one moment to another or from one situation to another. That is, our focus can easily be changed from ourselves to an external object and vice versa. Self-awareness may be obtained in many situations, such as if we look in a mirror or are being watched and evaluated by others. A state of self-awareness can make us more critical toward our own behavior. How do we learn about ourselves? We learn about ourselves through the socialization process. That is, we learn how other people see us. We compare ourselves to other people and come to conclusions about ourselves. The way other people treat us is also an important way of learning about ourselves. From childhood training, we learn about our religious and ethnic background. We learn about ourselves by watching how other people react to us. This is called the looking glass self, which is an idea delineated by C.H. Cooley 1920. We learn about ourselves from the feedback other people give us. We also learn about ourselves from watching our own behavior. We see ourselves doing certain things, liking certain activities, and disliking various components and activities that we are confronted with. What is social identity? Social identity is a section of a person's self-concept that relates to the social groups he identifies with. The social groups that the individual identifies with can include the family, religious affiliations, ethnic groups, etc. The words identifies with in this definition mean that the individual perceives himself as a part of the social group or belonging to it. This sense of association with the group generally includes an emotional attachment to the group, the group's values, the group's beliefs and the group's customs. What is a self-schema? A self-schema is a set of ideas that relate to a specific dimension or quality such as sociability of ourselves. The set of ideas are elements of the specific dimension or quality that is associated with ourselves. Such as being kind and sensitive to the needs of others, being independent, being a good student, being self-disciplined. All of these are schemas, which consist of a set of related ideas. For example, being a good student is a schema that consists of the following ideas or items: a person that is in school, attends classes regularly, studies every day and gets good grades. Just as was the case with the self-concept, there are emotional components connected to at least some of the items that comprise a self-schema, which may motivate or inhibit certain types of behavior. The dynamics and components of the self and society associated with the self. There are many dynamics and components. But an interesting point to understand is that there is also a set of social dynamics and components that affect all the dynamics and components of the self and vice versa. This relationship between the self and society, or more precisely the social network of the individual, is important when psychology is applied in practical ways, such as in therapy. For example, the individual may have low self-esteem because the people in his social network or society in general may place a very low value on him or her.